Hi, so this is Christina again for Open Science Radio. We just finished a session on short-term incentives for open science, which was co-hosted by Emma Harris, and I'm happy to have you here, Emma, for a little chat.
Lovely to be here.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Who are you, where do you work, and why do you care about open science?
So I'm a science communicator and training developer, and I work at the Max Del Brook Center for Molecular Medicine in Buch in Berlin. And I care because I'm working on an open science project called Orion. It's an EU-funded project, and we are developing the training package for that at MDC. So we're looking for ways to help researchers do more open science and also to inform funders how they can promote open science and basically trigger a behavioral change in the life sciences.
And at what point are you in this project? How far along is it?
So I've been working on it for 6 months, but we're about to have our 1 year anniversary in May.
So is there anything that we can see and reuse maybe in May already?
We have only sort of just started kind of developing things and developing ideas. We're going to have our first pilot on October 12th at the MDC for researchers. So that's our first face-to-face pilot training session. And we're also going to develop some online resources in the next year. But if anybody is interested in us coming and to do a workshop with them or coming to speak at a conference, we're available for that. We have money for travel, so it's not a problem. And it's completely free. And in addition to that, interesting that this should be a podcast, we are thinking of doing some interviews with researchers, interviews with people who are involved in open science, and developing something a bit more less educational and more engaging that isn't just reading documents and being told what to do. And we very much want to come from a career benefits, how can this help researchers' perspective.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds a lot like you are about the carrot and less about the stick. This was one of the things that happened in the session that you just moderated. When we talk about incentives, do we talk about negative or positive incentives? What do you think is more useful?
I think generally people respond better to positive incentives. I come from the UK, and that tends to be a culture of writing a policy and legislating a lot, in my personal experience. And I find that generally you get people to obey, essentially, but you don't get any buy-in. You don't get any genuine enthusiasm. People simply want to tick the box, and then they will game it. I think if you tell people what the many genuine rewards for doing open science are, they will naturally come to it. I think the problem we have at the moment is a lack of communication. We have a lot of open science activities and tools and projects going on, but the researchers aren't aware of these things, and there's a knowledge gap there. And I think once they become more aware of it, they'll be more likely to use it.
So is awareness and more knowledge the way to enthusiasm?
I think so. I mean, I think once I've explained these incentives to researchers, they are very enthusiastic. They see the problems with the traditional science system, the problems with the traditional publishing system, where things are set up for a single narrative, they're set up for high impact but low accessibility. They see the problem with not involving the public and the lack of trust in science that has developed in recent years. And they see these problems and they want to fix them. What they don't have is maybe the tools or the time or the framework to do so. So I think it's our job as science communicators and people in research support to bridge that gap.
In the session just now, did you learn anything new? Were there any new perspectives, or was it like only more of the same and you know all of this already because you're an expert in the field? Is it the same stuff being rehashed, or did we find anything new today?
I think there were some things that I'd heard before, citations and think certain aspects such as that. There are also some interesting ideas in terms of telling case studies and narratives that were really interesting. So giving practical examples of when open science has helped, when open science has actually resulted in a better career for someone. And I think that's an interesting idea that we might be able to pursue. I'd kind of touched on it in my own head, but it was really great to hear it spoken out loud and get a lot of enthusiasm for that. I think that that could be a way of engaging people more directly, because humans respond well to stories, essentially, and they also respond well to examples. You know, it's all very well to say, this would be good if, but if you can say, this was good when, that's even better.
And maybe even put like a face to it and a story behind it.
Exactly.
Okay, is there anything else that you're taking away from the session right now?
Just the breadth of knowledge and enthusiasm for open science is really heartening. Sometimes it feels like it's a bit of an uphill struggle, sort of Atlas pushing the stones up the mountain. But when you get people who really have thought about it and share your dedication to open science, that really makes it all worthwhile. So that's great.
Awesome. Well, it's been really great meeting you, and I hope that we continue this conversation off the record at some time. And I also wish you a nice rest of the day here at Open Science Barcamp.
Great. Thank you. Lovely to meet you.
Hello, so this is Christina again for Open Science Radio, and I'm now talking with Luisa Bengtsson, who was the other co-host of the session on short-term incentives for open science. Hi, Luisa.
Hello.
So, first of all, can you tell us a little bit about yourselves? Where do you work? What's your focus? What's your take on open science?
Okay, so I work at the Max Delbruck Center for Molecular Medicine. It's a research institute in the Helmholtz Association. We are a research institute. And I work there in the communications department. And my main task there is to promote public engagement and take care of knowledge exchange. And as part of this, an idea came up that actually open science, that there cannot be no public engagement or knowledge exchange actually without open science. So together with other life science institutes, such as SciTech in Czech Republic, Babraham Institute in the UK, and CRG in Spain or Catalonia, we applied for this grant from the European Union to promote open science. And the project is called Orion. And the idea is really to promote open science, but not as a top-down incentive. It's more motivational incentive. So we want the institutions to change their mindset, the funding and research-performing institutions to change their mindsets to actually do science in an open way.
So making an institution change their mindset sounds like a very big task. The project started last year, is that right?
Yes, it started in May, although as many such projects takes quite a while until it's up and running. But yeah, it's a very ambitious goal, and we're curious ourselves how it's going to go. But the idea is basically, okay, we're not starting to change the world at once. We started with 4 research institutions and 1 funding institution. And we're going to take stock basically of what's going on in our institutions, how high the awareness of open science is among our researchers, our administrative staff, our directors, what activities are there, some numbers such as like how many open access articles are being published and so on. And we will revisit this data and take the same stock at the end of the project, which is a 4-year project, and see whether we accomplished our task. And in between, we're going to do all kinds of activities to promote this cultural change. So one is training for researchers. That's actually the task that Emma and I are in charge of at the MDC. We're developing training for the consortium, which we will spread across Europe, hopefully. And in this training, we don't want to tell scientists do this or do that. We really want to find out what their heart beats for, in a way, and then align it with the principles of open science. So not so much about you should and you have to, but what's your motivation for doing science, and how do you think you can do it even better and more aligned with your original motivation for doing science? Because we think that everybody actually wants to do good. That's the main. People are good, they want to do good. And I think the system right now forces people to do not so good things maybe sometimes. So
I'm totally with you on that positive outlook. So when you say open science in your project, I'm assuming you mean open access and open data. Are there other aspects of open science that are within your purview right now?
So actually, yes, and open access is not even really a focus of our project because we find it kind of old in a way. Well, not old, but there are already so many different ways people can do open access, and it's kind of it's clear what the problem is, and it's kind of clear where it should go, sort of, and there are people working on it, so we don't really feel like we have anything much to add to that. Open data is another field. It's quite big and difficult, and there are still people are still struggling to find the right solutions to, like, okay, how to make data open and what kind of data, and what does it mean for tech transfer and commercialization of data, which is actually an aspect of any university or research institute, which is really important that not everything can be open because there are some legal aspects as well. But what we also find really important is the transparency and actually research integrity, research ethics, which also goes together with public engagement. And so we think that it's not enough to publish open access. It's still not accessible for everybody. And our ambition is open science as open to everybody, including to some degree lay people. So we came up with a whole range of strategies how to first motivate scientists to do more public engagement, to actually make their data more accessible, not just to peer community, but also to the outside, and also how to basically show them that this actually helps the research and advances the research. And this is the keyword is citizen science. So we also be doing several citizen science projects in the framework of Orion.
Wow, that's a lot of work. The session that you just co-hosted with Emma Harris focused on incentives for researchers. So if you were to wrap up the session, were there any new ideas or any things that you hadn't on your radar right now? Were your expectations confirmed or was it surprising?
It was both. So basically, as I said at the beginning of the session, like anytime we start brainstorming, okay, so what are incentives? And then you end up with money, how's it called? being rich and famous, basically. I mean, that's how pretty much you end up as the standard incentive, which translates in science, like a lot of citations and grant money to your research, right? Career advancement. I think we did get some new ideas. I think it's really interesting to see how the community was there. And as far as I could see, there were a nice mixture of scientists actually doing science and also people talking about science. And everybody pretty much agreed that there has to be a mix of top-down and bottom-up incentives. And that's really important to keep in mind, because I think it's something that we need to put as a part of our training is you cannot be alone. You have to stand up with others. You have to really push for this issue in order to get the top down incentives, and then your bottom up sort of translates into top down, and then it's the round thing that actually does get you somewhere in the end. And also what I really the really nice thought that came out, like that I personally didn't think about is, it's a competition in a way, right? So if you want to be, and scientists are very competitive people, at least the ones I know. if you want to be, if you don't want to miss the sort of the train, you have to be ahead of it. Like you have to jump on the open science train because it might just run from you, and then you stand there with your old fashioned business as usual doing science way and think, what happened? I just missed something here. So this is now a chance to be part of the open science movement and community and bring it forward and make it yours. And I think this is something we'll definitely will put in our trainings as one of the main lead ideas.
I think that's a great idea, kind of join the party now, and you'll reap the benefits of this. Is there anything else that you're going to be taking away from this Open Science Barcamp today?
Fantastic networking opportunities here. I mean, I already met so many people, talked to so many interesting people and so many new ideas. And I think this is just really, really great. And I know this will lead to like a start of beautiful new collaborations on many, many fronts, and that's cool, and that's why we're here for. So yeah,
great. Well, I'm enjoying it too. Thank you very much for your time, and I'm sure we'll continue our conversation as well.
Well, thank you very much.
Bye.